Welcome to Absolute Truth Absolutely, the weekly podcast powered by LWYM and your host, Gio. If you're uncompromising in your search and preservation of the truth, you've come to the right place. Now here's your host, Gio, with Pastor Jesus Martinez.
Hello, ladies and gents, and welcome to another edition of Absolute Truth Absolutely. We are on the other side of Thanksgiving Day, and I want to welcome each and every one of you. I hope that everyone had a nice Thanksgiving Day. I know that we did. We hope that you were able to spend it with your family and had a moment of brotherhood, and were also able to share with someone that you normally don't share. I guess that's, believe it or not, the meaning of Thanksgiving has been kind of lost in its historicity, but also at the main intent, which is not only to share with friends and family, but also to share with those that are needing. And we hope that that was the case, and if not, that you would begin to do so in the following days, weeks, and months. Again, this is Absolute Truth Absolutely. I am your host, Gio. I am the youth leader of LWYM, and with me, as always, is my father and the pastor of Living Word Church, Jesus Martinez.
Thank you, Gio, and I guess a delayed happy Thanksgiving to all the people that listen to our program. And I was wondering, Gio, and perhaps you can answer this for me, the atheist, they can't celebrate Thanksgiving because they have no one to say thank you to.
I guess, you know, they found another celebration.
Maybe they thank each other.
Probably. Thank you for being such a militant atheist. Thank you. Thank you. Everybody, let's hold hands. Well, we don't do any prayer here at the table. Yeah, okay, we'll just go ahead and eat a pig out. You know, it's true. You know, they found an alternate celebration for Christmas, with a winter solstice. I don't know what they're going to find for Thanksgiving. I'm pretty sure they don't celebrate it. They just go out and drink it up or something.
They still want the day off.
Oh, that is true. That's, how's that for hypocrisy? Well, today on the edition, we want to talk about a cultural phenomenon that has taken hold, especially here in the United States, called T-bowing, or rather T-bowing. Most of you that are listening to this probably understand what we are referring to. We are referring to the act of getting on a knee, prostrating one's head, bowing one's head, and supporting it in a folded hand as if a posture of prayer, made famous again. And I say again because this is a celebration that has gone on in football for quite some time now, but I guess he's repopularized it, and that's Tim Tebow. And T-bowing has become sort of a cultural phenomenon in that people in the Twitter accounts, in the Facebook accounts, in MySpace, everywhere now, people are taking a picture of them performing the same pose and posting it online so that they could copy Tim Tebow after a touchdown celebration. This has a lot of people angered, especially the new atheist movement or the free thinkers movement, because again, this is a Christian individual, a Christian athlete that has garnered a lot of attention. And we see that since now this has become it's basically created its own little subculture, if you will, called T-bowing or T-bowing. Now atheists are coming out of the woodworks again, out of their holes. The wolves are coming out of their holes saying, you know, this Tebow guy, and the verbal rants going on and on, on and on. This is just a macrocosm, if you will, of what goes on a daily basis here in the United States. I don't know if you would agree with me on that, of employees being persecuted, ostracized by their employers who are probably atheists, students who are ostracized for their faith because of militant liberal teachers, so on and so forth.
And the upsetting thing is that many other groups with their representatives and the people that showcase their activities and ideals do a barrage of things that they are applauded. They're lauded for that. And so you see the duplicity, you see the hypocrisy, especially, Gio, in the media, where they take something so simple and so honest as bowing before God and saying thank you, and they just blow it out of proportion. And like you said, the rhetoric, the hate, the harsh, harsh things that are said about Tebow and Christians, for me, is something that is very upsetting. Because let's take, for example, the gay pride marches and parades. Have you seen the way the media picks and chooses what scenes and what pictures to publish? Because some of the stuff that goes on in these parades is extremely nasty.
Yeah.
Very, very disturbing.
Well, it's the same thing. I'm sorry to interrupt you with the Occupy Wall Street protest. most of the liberal media, they were just picking and selecting certain photos, but they weren't showing the truth about it, that people were getting raped, that there was a lot of drug abuse, that police officers were getting stabbed. This is all stuff that they tried to hide away to try to paint the movement as something that was sincerely nice. It was grassroots. It's not like the nasty tea parties, if you will. I'm sorry.
And then you take something so simple and so sincere and clean as bowing before God to say thank you, and they just blow it out of proportion. They make it seem like it's nasty, like our young kids are really going to be hurt by it. And look at this manifestation of religion. Pretty soon they'll want the NFL to ban something like this.
Yeah. Well, it happened already in the NCAA. I don't know if you remember. You probably do. That after Tim Tebow was wearing the eye black under his eyes, he would post verses on there. It became also a bit of its own phenomenon also. I think in the BCS title game, I forgot what year specifically, he had put John 3:16 under both of his eye blacks, or handwritten on both of his eye blacks. Google had received millions upon millions of hits of people trying to see what John 3:16 said. Just because of the platform he had, the cameras were on him, and he knew it, so he found a way to share his faith by a very, I guess, a creative way, by putting on the verses on his eye blacks. Immediately after, the NCAA passed a rule saying that, no, this was banned. You can't put any more handwritten messages on the eye blacks. And of course, they came out and tried to be politically correct about it, saying, no, it wasn't a Tebow rule, if you will. It was more of a collegiate rule, because there were others, like, for example, they mentioned Reggie Bush, that used to put verses or messages on their eye blacks. But this really took a life of its own when Tebow was playing for the Florida Gators. Everybody talked about how he was very vocal and very, he would publicize his faith. He would, you know, bow down, he would pray, he would do all these things and thank the Lord Jesus Christ after all the celebrations and the post-game shows and whatnot. And the reason that Tebow has become the epicenter of criticism is because of his faith. There is no other reason because of it. And you've got people wanting him to fail. For example, Bill Maher. Bill Maher is one who's been openly, whose hatred for the Christian faith has been very open, and he hasn't subdued it in any way, shape, or form.
Do you have any idea how much money Tim Tebow brought to the NCAA? Have you seen all the things that the NCAA does in the way they use their athletes to rake in millions upon millions of dollars? But it's okay for them. It's okay for the companies that they endorse, because their products are moved and sold, indirectly being advertised in the uniforms that these young men and these young women wear. It's okay for them. But if a young man decides that he's going to wear John 3:16 in his black shadow to, you know, keep the glare from the sun away from his eyes, then it's improper. And I think there is something definitely foul in the air, and it has to do with unmentioned, not written, of course, collusion, their efforts against Christianity. It's becoming more than obvious that we are the target of many an institution just to silence us. And I, for one, pray for this young man, because it's obvious that God's hand is all over him, and he's taking so much heat just because he's a Christian. And so I, for one, have asked others to pray for him, and have prayed for him, and will continue to pray for him, that the Lord will keep him strong, because he is under just about everybody's microscope now. And like you mentioned, you've got a guy like Bill Maher, which I have a couple of things to say about him, and probably will before the program is over. But some of the things that are being said about Tebow are just, they're cruel.
Yeah. Well, for example, let's use a couple of examples here. He has Tebow under his radar. And of course, Maher doesn't particularly appeal to many people, but he appeals to many atheists because of his... Some people call him Frank, but I don't call him Frank. I call him perverse, because a lot of the things that he mentions on his show, and he mentions in his supposed comedy routine, they're not frank, analyzations of things. They're not, I guess the only way to put it is that his way of thinking is so reprobate, and his way of characterizing Christians is so downright perverse and nasty that it has no other terminology to describe the words that he uses to try to describe Christians. Well, let's talk, for example, about what he said recently about Tim Tebow. Quote, since all Republican voters wanting a candidate is a devout Christian, they should just go ahead and nominate Tim Tebow. He continues, Tim Tebow is so cuckoo for Christianity that he used to write Bible verses in the charcoal under his eyes. Creepy to some, but for redneck America, they couldn't love this guy more if he was sculpted out of bacon. End quote.
Now, if you were to ask Bill Maher if he is trying to get others to think like him, if he is a preacher of sorts, he would say, no, I'm just a free, independent thinker. But when you listen to his presentation, what he had to say about George Carlin, when Carlin was given the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor, he said that the thing that he learned from Carlin was not to apologize. And then he drove his point home with more or less the following words, not to apologize for the things he said about religion and religious people, because they, the religious, are wrong, and he, with his reason, is right. So we see that he did have a hero, that somebody led him to certain ideas, and he's doing the same thing, even though, Gio, they will deny it until the day they die, because once they say, yeah, we're trying to get people to convert to our mode of thinking, our way of thinking, they know that then they have issues. But they hide behind the fact that I'm just sharing my thoughts. I'm being frank. I'm being transparent. This is not so. They want people to convert. I'm sorry to have to use that word, yeah, but I think it conveys a message. To convert to their way of thinking, to their views. And so what they accuse us of doing, and that is to try to influence people. And I will not deny it. This is the job of the church. We are to go and preach. We are to go and teach. We have a motive. We have a reason. We want people to believe in Christ because we believe wholeheartedly that it's the only way that you can escape hell and perdition. We don't hide that.
Yeah, but at least we admit it.
Absolutely. And that is the Great Commission. This is what we were called to do. But they manifest their malicious intent. They hide it, and they it's made manifest if you can see right through them. Of course, if you don't, then you'll call them frank and sincere and, you know, all the other things that they call themselves and other call them. But we see what they're doing. Yeah. They're trying to get people to convert to their way of thinking, to their way of looking at things. And it's interesting the way that he called Carlin a hero and the one who helped him to be free to bash religion, to bash Christians, because he has this thing for Christians. And when you look back to George Carlin, Gio, some of the things that he said about God and Christianity, you wouldn't even dare repeat. That's how blasphemous and some and how dark they were. And you know what is most shameful? Some Christians defend George Carlin. He was just being frank. He was just being honest.
Well, they say he was exercising his First Amendment rights to free speech.
But absolutely. The thing is, and we don't have a problem with people exercising their rights, but don't go saying they're right.
Yeah,
they're great.
Exactly.
They're right on the dot. They're not trying to get converts. They're wrong. They have a right to be wrong, and they are trying to get converts.
Well, let's use two other examples. Stephen Colbert, for example, from Comedy Central, and Jon Stewart from Comedy Central fame also. They are extremely left-wing and anti-Christian to the core, and they will hide their liberalism and their ideologies behind the fact that they're on a Comedy Central show, so to speak. No. What we're doing is simply comedy. No, it's not. You're just trying to hide your ideology and trying to hide your
intention. They're trying to shape opinion.
Exactly. They're trying to hide their intention to influence people, just like you were saying, and rightly so, behind this facade of it's all comedy. It's all meant to make people laugh. When you make certain statements about people, I'll give you an example. Recently, Jimmy Fallon had Michelle Bachmann on his show. And The Roots, which is the house band for the Jimmy Fallon show, began to play the song from Fishbone, whose title that we cannot mention on this program, but it's basically a lying female dog, and you can look for the title later on, the actual title. When you invite a person like this, why do you invite them on the show if you don't respect them? If you don't agree with them on anything? Absolutely nothing. In essence, they brought her on to mock her, to try to make fun of her, to try to degrade her by playing this song, because they probably knew that she didn't know this type of music and what, you know, they were playing when she was being introduced.
Jill, they're going to say that her booking agent booked her and that she should be aware of what type of program they are and what it is they put out for public consumption. And so it's all on her.
Yeah.
But then you see the way they treat other people, other guests, and they don't do this to them. No. And so I agree with you. I'm not defending Fallon or NBC. I believe it's NBC,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And the others that do the same thing. But they always find the legal way to say, you see, we did nothing wrong. We're not talking about legality. We're not talking about amendment rights. We're talking about doing the right thing because you know it's the right thing. Yeah. And to bring on or to allow a guest to come on just to mock them and at least not make them aware of what you plan to do them so they can opt out, where's the ethics in that?
Yeah, there is no ethics. And then here's the other thing. The band leader, who's a drummer, called Questlove, Amir Questlove Thompson, if I'm not mistaken, he's the band leader for the house band of the Jimmy Fallon show. And he knew, he had tweeted beforehand what it was that they were going to play. In other words, telling people, check it out, listen to what's going to happen. And then in response to all of the criticism that Jimmy Fallon and the band received, you know what he said? Questlove is punished. Nothing else happened. Nothing else happened. He, from what I know up until this point, the band leader is still on the show. They're still playing. And he's not going to be reprimanded for any of this because this is the way that the liberal media, this is the way that the liberal media works. That's the way that they operate. Now, having said all this, we see that there are also atheists that have working with them. In other words, in collusion with them, you've got others like the mainstream media, the ACLU, other groups that are hell-bent on trying to eradicate Christian influence from our United States, our American society. And I'll give you an example. When the influence of a minority like militant atheism, when it grows by leaps and bounds in the U.S., many are going to identify with their cause. And for example, take the Nordic terrorist Anders Breivik. Immediately after the terror attacks in Norway, most of the liberal media outlets here in the United States, they started reporting the following. This is a Christian terrorist, and they began to brand him as a Christian terrorist. Why? Because in his 1,003-page manifesto, he writes that he was a Christian. But here's the problem. They hid away what his definition is of being a Christian. And when we read his manifesto, it says the following, quote, "It is enough that you are a Christian agnostic or a Christian atheist. That makes no sense whatsoever." But he puts in parentheses, "An atheist who wants to preserve at least the basics of the European Christian cultural legacy." In other words, he says that, yes, I'm an atheist, or you can be an agnostic, but you want to preserve some of the ideologies that drive the European culture. And then he goes on, that's the end quote, and this is another quote. Quote, "Myself and many more like me do not necessarily have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and God," end quote. So my question is, why did the media jump on the Anders the Christian terrorist bandwagon? Well, because they're in cahoots with atheists, and they want to paint Christians as maniacal wackos that are killers.
They know the power that they have. They have a bully pulpit. But this is not new. If you go back to, I'm going to say late 60s, and then it took on a bigger role in the 70s, and now it's like almost in your face, you will find, Gio, that some of the wackos that were, I'm going to say featured, that were the dark people of the films, when they got done exploding buildings and killing people and, you know, just doing their thing, they went into this little dark room and they were reading the Bible. Hmm. And so this was Hollywood's way of saying, look what religion, look what the Bible has done to this poor soul. It's damaged his mind to the point that now he's blowing up people. He's killing people. He's destroying the innocent. And so even way back in the late 60s and 70s, you saw that these dark characters that were being played out in front of the nation in the, you know, movies and TV programs, they were dark because somewhere in the back, they're lurking in the back of their minds and thoughts was the Bible. And so I guess it whacked them out, it destroyed them, and it turned them into these really dark people. And so this is not a new thing, and that's all I meant by this particular comment. It has just grown by leaps and bounds. So at any point where we see somebody have the success that Tim Tebow is having, and he's not the only one. Many, many, many Christians has successful careers. Now it's important to demonize them.
Yep.
Lest we have kids saying, oh, wow, being a Christian is a great thing.
Yep.
I think I'll go that path.
Yep.
No, no, we have to demonize them because we cannot run the risk of having our kids saying, yeah, I want to be like Tim Tebow. No, our kids have to be like the other NFL star who, after he scores a touchdown, he doesn't bow. He thrusts his hips.
Yeah.
And he does the other wild stuff. That's what we want our kids to mimic.
Yeah, those are the proper influences of society, if
yeah.
you will.
Yeah.
And that's a great point. And for example, and just to add on to that, recently, Jake Plummer, the former quarterback of the Denver Broncos, they were interviewing him on ESPN Radio, if I'm not mistaken. And he goes on to say, you know, I would like Tim Tebow a little more. He's a winner, but I would like him a little more if he would stop praising Jesus after every snap. And he tried to exaggerate it, of course. And they took the quote to Tim Tebow. And Tebow said, you know, and I thought it was a great analogy, simple but very effective. He says, you don't only say I love you to your wife or to your husband on the day you're married. You say I love you on a daily basis to reaffirm that love. And it's the same thing with my relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, I'm not going to back down from praising my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he kept saying it over and over again. And that's exactly what we need. As Christians, I think we can use that as an example of standing true for the faith, of standing sound and firm whenever oppression or others are trying to ostracize us. That we have to stand firm in the faith no matter what may come our way, because we understand that at the basis of it all, Satan is behind this, propelling all of this so that the truth of the gospel will not be spread. And he knows that if he can quiet us down, then the gospel will be halted. But this is where our freedom of speech, this is where we have to consider our liberties as important and precious, and to protect them and to preserve them. And this is why we need to speak out as much as we can. Now, to end this program, I want to focus in on something that you were just mentioning. Everybody seems to defend the rights of atheists, and liberals defend the rights of liberals. But when it comes to Christians and conservatives, something that we've spoken about on this very program, it's never an issue. They never seem to make that big of a deal with it. So when Tim Tebow speaks or a Christian's free speech rights are violated, where's the ACLU? Where is my right to speak against Bill Maher? Bill Maher, what about all the major media outlets? Why don't you cover things fair and balanced? Well, you don't do that. The reason all of this has to do with Tebowing is because since this has become such a phenomenon, atheists see the influence, like you were saying, that this is spreading. And when they see that Christian influence is beginning to spread like wildfire, they're saying, whoa, 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 we got to stop this at its tracks. But at the end of the day, it's all secularism that's driving them. Secularism, that's all that's driving them. I'll give you the last word.
Well, I think that we need to continue to pray for this young man, because anything short of 5 Super Bowl rings and a life without a single blemish will not suffice the liberals.
Yep.
If this young man were to suffer a fall, he's never claimed to be perfect, by the way.
Yep.
You know what's going to happen. If he doesn't win the Super Bowl or a Super Bowl, you know what they're going to say.
Yep.
Even though hundreds of other quarterbacks have never won the Super Bowl. But he's under the microscope. He's under the radar. He's under the gun. And so I would just ask people to pray for this young man, because it's obvious that he is in a high-profile situation. And he is lifting the name of Jesus. And for that, we are thankful.
Absolutely. And also, one more thing. The question is, what do we each have to do when these punches, these oppressions come our way? Either we roll with them, or we do exactly the opposite. We begin to do the things that are erroneous and we suffer for them.
I think we should take a page from this young man's book. We may not have the wide open platform that he enjoys, but we all have a platform of a particular size, and we should be faithful in that platform.
And there are people watching us, and we have to be careful that all of the character assassinations do not stick. I'll give you guys an example. 1 Peter 3:13-17, which says, it's blessed when we suffer when we're not doing wrong, but when we're doing the right thing. So read those verses. It's up to each of us individually to follow Christ's example.
Amen.
Thank you for being with us again, Pastor Martinez. If any of you have any questions that you'd like to run our way, or any suggested topics for future shows, please do those or send those to us at info@lwin.org. That's all the time that we have left for this edition. And we hope to see you guys next week. Until the next edition, may the Lord shine his face upon you.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or suggested topics for future shows, send them our way to info@lwim.org. That's info@lwim.org. Visit our website in order to download past episodes and subscribe to our free email updates. The web address is www.lwim.org/ATA. This has been Absolute Truth Absolutely. Absolute truth in a world full of uncertainty.